I lived in Upper Canada at the time, in a well-sized cabin-type home. The holiday season was always my favorite time of the year, as my family would gather at one of our homes and celebrate Christmas together. Living alone, this was always something to look forward to. I didn't mind being alone, but it was just nice to see some friends and family sometimes. Being in a relatively sizable home, our small family would often either gather at my place or my brother's place, usually taking turns each year. This year, it was my turn to host the family gathering. Most of my family lived on the other side of Canada, though, making it a long drive or a costly plane ride. Typically, though, everyone tries to arrive on Christmas Eve. So, come December 23rd, I called up my brother to make sure everything was going as planned. He informed me that our parents may arrive early Christmas morning due to a flight delay, but he was driving and should make it by the night of Christmas Eve. Wishing him safe travels, I said goodnight and went back to bed. Now, if you've ever lived in Canada, especially further north, you know the winters are brutally cold and long. Often snowstorms and blizzards can form suddenly and last for varied amount of time. That being said, the next day, heavy snowfall covered the grounds in the morning and was accompanied by rushing winds in the afternoon. I received a call from my brother around 6 p.m., notifying me that he was going to have to stay at a motel for the night due to the snowstorm covering the roads. I agreed that it was the safe decision, though I was a bit upset that I'd have to spend the day before Christmas alone, but I tried to stay positive, looking forward to Christmas Day with my whole family. At 10 o'clock, I got ready for bed and set an early alarm for 5 a.m., just in case my parents arrived at the airport early. The wind howling outside the house gave me trouble falling asleep, as it was shaking the whole room and making the whole house creak. But as I laid there annoyed and awake, a soft and rhythmic sound approached from outside the cabin. The wind blowing in all directions at random speeds made the soft 1-2 of the footsteps stand out. They were slow, as you would expect in this kind of weather, but they continued all the way until they reached the wall on the left side of my house. I just laid there with my eyes open, listening to this strange person walking during a blizzard in the middle of the night. A lot of things ran through my head, such as complete confusion and fear of a possible attack. However, I began wondering if it was my brother. Maybe something had happened and his phone didn't have service. Maybe he couldn't find a hotel. The more I had these thoughts, the more I felt I had to find a way to see who it was. In weather like this, nobody could last more than an hour without serious consequences, and I definitely didn't want my brother and his family stuck out there. As I was putting on some heavier clothes, a knock came from downstairs. The odd thing about it was that it was a single knock, and it didn't come from the front door. Hesitantly, I opened my bedroom door and peeked down the stairs. It was far too dark to see anything, but I didn't want to give away my position if it was someone dangerous, so I left the lights off. I walked blindly down the stairs, still listening for any footsteps or sound, but heard nothing aside from the strong winds. As I got to the bottom, I made my way to the front door. While the knock didn't seem to come from the front, I didn't really know what else to do. I'm not sure why, but this was when I really started to get nervous, afraid even. I don't usually say I scare easy, but something just felt very wrong. Approaching the door in silence, I leaned forward and moved the small blinds on the side of the window. A man stood there, looking at the door, looking calm and emotionless. But as soon as he noticed me, he began screaming for me to help him, banging on the window as he stared me in the eyes. I jumped back, not expecting such a sudden reaction. My heart started pounding in my chest. The man didn't look well, as in, he looked crazy, and he had one hand in his pocket like he was hiding something. I didn't feel at all comfortable opening the door, but I also didn't want to have the man's blood on my hands for not helping him during a storm like this.
What's wrong? How did you get here?
I yelled. A few second pause followed before the man answered calmly.
I got lost. I just need somewhere to shelter.
His shift in attitude was alarming. I stood there, thinking for a bit, before the man asked me again to let him in. then again and again, getting more aggressive with each word, before beginning to hit the door, pounding on it over and over. I ran to the other room to grab my pistol that I kept in cases of home defense. Then I went back to the front door, though I stood a good distance away and held my ground, hoping he would just leave if I ignored him. He continued banging for well over a minute, but as I stood there, anxiously waiting, I heard again the crunch of footsteps walking around my house. Knowing now that this was for sure a bad situation, I ran upstairs and locked myself in my bedroom. I heard two men start talking soon after, followed by a window shattering and footsteps entering my home. The footsteps scattered around downstairs. I heard things moving and objects clattering before someone began climbing the stairs. My bedroom was the only room upstairs, aside from a half bathroom and closet. Shaking uncontrollably and praying in my head, I held my gun up and aimed at the door as a man approached the other side.
"Yeah, he's gotta be in here,"
the man yelled, almost in a cheerful way. He punched the door once, though it sounded heavy, as if he had hit it with a hammer or maybe even a gun. I couldn't help but make a quiet gasp from the terror of it. The man let out a sick, chuckling laugh. Then the other man downstairs yelled something, and both of their footsteps faded away. I sat there with my gun held at the door for probably 15 minutes, with nothing but the sounds of winds blowing downstairs. Clearing the house carefully, I made sure they were gone, then put a small wooden board over the broken window to keep the snow out. The men had taken a few expensive things around the house, and left a bit of a mess, but no other harm was done. The blizzard had settled by morning, and I informed my family and the police of the encounter. My brother was angry at himself for not having been there for me, but I assured him it was okay and he made the right call to not drive in a snowstorm. Despite having the most horrifying encounter in my entire life, I actually had a really enjoyable Christmas with my family. People these days are cruel and awful humans, and to do something like that, to put someone through something like that, especially during the holiday season, is just another level of insanity. Christmas was always a big event in my family. Every year, we'd drive out to my aunt and uncle's house where I'd get to see all of my cousins as well as my grandparents. There's one year I still think about a lot though, because something happened that I still can't get out of my head. I was only 10 at the time, and I was a relatively shy kid, so meeting new people wasn't enjoyable at all. This year though, when we arrived at my uncle's house, my oldest cousin introduced all of us to her boyfriend, Drew. Apparently they'd been together for a few years and things were getting pretty serious, so she wanted the whole family to get comfortable with him. From what I heard, they met at the college they both went to, which wasn't far, but Drew was from out of state, so my uncle offered him to stay at his house during winter break. Anyway, over the next couple days, I remember avoiding him as much as possible. I really didn't want to talk to some stranger I didn't know, and I definitely didn't want him to act like he was my big brother. However, my younger brother, who was only 6, was talking to him all the time. It was like they had just become best friends in just 2 days. My parents thought it was cute that my little brother was looking up to him, but I found it to be weird. I don't know, something about it just made me feel uncomfortable. During the nights, I shared a room with my brother, and I'm assuming Drew and my cousin shared a room on the other side of the house. I asked my little brother as we were getting ready for bed why he liked Drew so much, and he just talked about how cool he was. I don't really know what I expected my 6-year-old brother to say, but when he responded, it kind of clicked in my mind that I really should be wondering why Drew wanted to talk to my brother so much, not the other way around. I know this all sounds like it may just be taken into bad context, when it could just be a loving, soon-to-be cousin-in-law. But it was just a feeling in my gut that told me something was off. And just 4 days after we had arrived, and on the night of Christmas Eve, my gut feeling was proven to be right. I specifically remember going to bed that night, noticing my brother having a lot more energy, way more than he should have at that time of night. I thought it was because he was excited about Christmas morning, as I was too, and I went to sleep soon after. Sometime hours later, I woke up. I don't know what actually woke me up, as the house seemed silent, but I instantly noticed my brother was not in his bed. My eyes widened, and I looked all around the room, calling out his name in a whisper. I felt protective of my little brother, and I was really worried about him. I almost wanted to cry when I saw that his jacket was missing. We both had been hanging them up on the handles of the closet door, but his was gone. I grabbed mine and rushed downstairs. From the bottom of the steps was a hallway. On one side was the front door, and on the other was the back door. Looking at the back door, the screen door was closed, but the actual door was open. I remember being scared, but more than anything, I wanted to make sure my little brother was okay. So, I walked outside. Out in the field behind the house, I could see two figures, one large and one small. They seemed to be walking away from the house, but it was dark and hard to tell. I walked a bit closer, then gathered the courage to yell my brother's name. Both figures stopped for a moment, and then the smaller one started running towards me. My baby brother ran into my arms. His eyes were watery. I looked back up, and the other figure was still standing in the field, looking in our direction. I led my brother back inside and up to our bedroom. I asked what had happened and what he was doing outside. All he would say was that he was scared of the dark, but Drew wanted to play a game. I didn't know what that meant, but I didn't care. Waking up a 6-year-old and leading them outside in the middle of the night was not okay. I kept my brother close for the rest of the holiday, but now I wish I had told someone about it. I was a shy kid that didn't want to be the center of any drama, and I didn't think anyone would believe me, so I kept my mouth shut about it. That was a horrible Christmas, though, and I think about it a lot. I've asked my brother years later what that Drew guy was doing, but even now, he says he doesn't remember. He only remembers being scared. My cousin never brought him to any more gatherings, so I'm assuming things didn't work out. I'm glad I saved my brother from whatever was going to happen that night, but I think back to it a lot, wishing that I had done more. Christmas for my family is probably similar to most other families. My wife and I tell our son that Santa brings presents on the night of Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas morning, we wake up our son and let him open the presents. It's a very typical Christmas, so of course on Christmas Eve, my kid wanted to make cookies for Santa, and we left out a small plate alongside a cup of milk before I sent him to bed. Then, after waiting an hour to make sure he was asleep, I began putting all of the gifts under the tree. Once I was finished piling them up, I went over to the small coffee table and took a few bites of the cookies to make it look like Santa came. Feeling satisfied with my work, I turned all the lights off and joined my wife in bed. The next morning, my wife woke our kid up and he ran downstairs to open his presents. He was so excited, screaming that Santa came. I always loved seeing his reaction to the gifts, but it was over after about an hour. He went off to play with his new toys, and my wife and I started cleaning up the wrapping paper and boxes, but that's when I noticed the cookies. Well, the lack of cookies, actually. They were all gone. We had put out a whole plate, and I had only eaten one. Confused, I walked over to my wife and asked her about it, though I knew she was in bed the whole time. She laughed at me, making a joke as if I ate the entire plate. But her smile faded when she realized my concern. I went over to my son and asked him if he had some cookies this morning, but his response only frightened and confused me more. He said he saw Santa eat them last night. Of course, I asked him what he meant, to which he replied that he woke up in the middle of the night and saw someone eating the cookies. I acted calm in front of him, making sure not to give the big secret away, as he was only 6, but I was seriously worried now. By the looks of it, my wife was too. It's such a weird, silly situation, but in reality, it was also terrifying, knowing that someone was inside our home. I took a quick look around upstairs, then searched the main floor before going over to the basement. Honestly, I hadn't been in the basement for months, It was unfinished, small, and dirty. The year before, we had our washer and dryer moved from the basement to the ground level floor. Ever since, we had no reason to go down there, so we just left it as an empty storage room. Anyway, I opened the door and turned on the dim lights. I waited several seconds before going down, thinking that if someone was there, they would make themselves known. With no other noises, I descended into the basement. From my initial look, I didn't see anything out of ordinary. There were boxes and dust, just like it had been left. But looking closer, a stack of the boxes seemed strangely put together. It kind of reminded me of when I was a kid and would position boxes to make a fort or a wall. I took a few steps closer before I could hear heavy breathing from behind the wall of boxes. I froze in place, shocked and scared, hoping that whoever was there stayed hidden so I could peacefully go back upstairs and call the police. I was not so lucky though. A disgusting, scrawny, middle-aged man stood up, looking me directly in the eyes. I was so shocked I didn't even move. It wasn't until the man quickly began climbing over the boxes that I turned around and sprinted as fast as I could up the stairs. His footsteps were not far behind mine as I pushed through the doorway and slammed the door behind me, seeing a glimpse of the man just a few steps down. I turned the lock and blocked the door with a nearby chair. My wife screamed and panicked at the chaos of the situation. She grabbed our son and ran upstairs while I stood by the door and called the police. It's funny though, because my first thought while dialing 911 was how bad I felt for having to call someone on Christmas morning. Then again, my family's life was in danger. As I waited for the cops to show up, the man tried to persuade me to let him go and that he meant no harm. At one point, it even sounded like he was talking to himself. The guy sounded insane. I almost felt sorry for him. When the officer finally made it, he arrested the man with ease and I filled out a report. We tried to not let this ruin the rest of Christmas, but it was difficult to get back into the joyful mood. It turned out he'd been squatting in our basement for anywhere between several days and a couple weeks. He'd been taking some of our food and drinks while we were gone too, which just made me feel sick. Thinking back, I'd even remembered things missing. Stupid things like the last granola bar being gone and everyone claiming it wasn't them. These are just normal things that you just chalk up to being anything other than someone living in your house and stealing your food. Now, I get a bad feeling in my gut every time something goes missing, as I remember that creepy guy staring at me and chasing me out of the basement.